Go to any school or business or organization and they all have one thing in common. They all have what is known as a lost and found. And a lost and found is a place for objects in which the owner has misplaced them that they can return to and ask if someone returned their items to the lost and found. Now, if you look into most lost and founds, most of the objects there are pretty insignificant. You might find a glove or a hat or a scarf. You might find a few coins or an inexpensive watch or a piece of jewelry. See, many items in the lost and found just stay there because the person who originally lost the item doesn't come to return it. Maybe they thought it wasn't that important to begin with, so they didn't spend much time looking for it. Maybe they didn't even realize that they lost it at all or where they lost it. Lost and found items are often not very precious to the owner. But there are times and situations where we lose things that are important to us and we have a very different attitude. I remember when I was in high school and college, I worked as a lifeguard. And I was lifeguarding and watching what was known as the diving pool one day. The diving pool had two smaller diving boards and then one diving board that was about 10 feet high and a water slide. And because people were jumping off or coming off the water slide, the diving pool was very deep, 15 feet altogether. And I remember one particular afternoon that I was working as a lifeguard in the diving pool, that a woman came up to me in my lifeguard chair, and she had this very concerned, very panicked look on her face. You see, this woman had jumped off the diving board and lost one of her diamond earrings. Now, why she was jumping off a diving board with a diamond earring, I couldn't really tell you. But she was very concerned, and she immediately wanted to find it. Well, in order to be safe and make sure people weren't jumping around her, we shut down the whole pool. We told everyone that they couldn't jump on the diving boards, they couldn't jump down the water slide until we found the diamond ring. And fellow lifeguards saw that this woman was looking for her diamond earring, and so we all participated and we began to look for this tiny, tiny item at the bottom of a big, big pool. Well, after a while, we all got pretty tired of looking for this ring, and so we sat on the side to take a break. But the woman didn't stop. The woman kept looking and looking and looking for what must have been an hour until she finally found it. You see, this diamond earring was so important to her that she wasn't willing to give up. She wasn't willing to throw in the towel because this item was precious. And that's what the theme of our scripture reading is today. It answers the question, who or what is precious to God? Jesus responds to a group of religious leaders who are grumbling that he is eating and socializing with sinners. You see, before Jesus came on the scene, the religious leaders believed that only those who behaved well, only those who lived their lives in accordance with the scriptures were worthy of God's recognition and love. And that if Jesus was truly a teacher and truly a prophet, he wouldn't be eating with these sinners. He would be eating with them. But Jesus justifies his behavior by telling two parables. And they both deal with the lost and found. The first is about a shepherd who is taking care of sheep. And he has 100 sheep, and one out of the 100 goes missing. Now, you might think initially that the shepherd would be like, well, you know, 99 out of 100, that's not bad. But to this particular shepherd, every sheep was equally precious. And so he did not stop looking until he found this sheep. And when he finally found this sheep, he rejoiced. The next parable is about a woman who is looking for one of her lost coins. Now, she has 10 coins that are very important to her, and she loses one of them. Now, again, you might initially think, well, 9 out of 10 is not bad. But again, all the coins are precious to her. And so she doesn't stop looking for the coin until she finds it. And when she finds that one lost coin, she rejoices. She is filled with a wave of relief and peace. All of us have lost something that is important to us. All of us have lost something that is precious to us. And all of us know what it's like to look under couch cushions, behind seats, anywhere and everywhere for our lost items. And all of us know what it's like to find the lost item after we've looked for it for a long time. There's almost always a wave of relief and peace that comes over us. But these are items. These are not people. And it sometimes is difficult for us to fully appreciate and fully understand how precious we are in God's eyes. How precious we are in God's sight. And sometimes it takes the example of another person for us to fully understand and for us to fully appreciate that. If you listened to my sermon last week, you know that I told a story about a man who found himself in rehab. He had struggled with alcohol addiction, and he found himself in rehab, and he met a chaplain there. And this chaplain and him developed a special bond and a special connection. He helped him not only in rehab understand the path to sobriety comes through surrendering to God, but also helped him better understand the scriptures and God's love for him. And when this man left rehab, he and the chaplain were filled with all sorts of hope and optimism for the new life he was about to lead. And so this man left rehab, and he was filled with just such positivity and such hope that he was going to be able to maintain his sobriety. Well, as many people this particular man ended back up in rehab. His struggle with alcohol continued, and he found himself in the rehab center. And when he was back in the rehab center, he was just waiting for the day that the chaplain would show up again. And he felt very strongly that this chaplain would come into his room and look at him with such disappointment. Say something like, I thought, you know, you had it all figured out. I thought we talked about this. I thought that you weren't going to turn to alcohol anymore, that you were going to stay sober. What happened there? He knew that this chaplain was going to respond with judgment and condemnation. But when the chaplain finally did visit him, he didn't feel an ounce of that at all. Instead, this chaplain just came in with a big smile and said, "Hey, how you doing? Welcome back. We're glad you're here. Is there anything you want to talk about? Is there anything you need?" You see, he wasn't met once again face to face with this chaplain with judgment or condemnation, but with love, with pure and unconditional love. And this began to give him a glimpse and an understanding of that chaplain's love for him. And through faith, through counsel, he was able to then find a lifetime of sobriety. Well, I'd like to expand on that story a little bit, if you will. The chaplain, who I mentioned in last week's sermon, his name was actually Ernie. And his faith journey actually begins during World War II. You see, Ernie, like so many people in the 1940s, bravely served his country. And like millions of people, Ernie dedicated himself to fighting tyranny and fighting for freedom. And Ernie found himself serving in what is known as the South Pacific. And he was serving in combat one day when he found himself pinned down behind a rock with a sniper shooting at him. He was behind this very, very tiny rock, and if he moved a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, or if he picked his head up a little bit, the sniper would shoot him. And so he sat there for 8 hours, hoping something would change, hoping that the sniper would go away. Well, because of the position he was laying in, he could not lay there any longer, and so finally, he had to move. And the second he moved, he was shot by the sniper. And as he was shot there in the South Pacific, bleeding, thinking his life was almost over as a very young man, he prayed to God. And he said, God, if you get me out of this, if you save me from this situation, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Well, God answered his prayer, and Ernie kept his word to God. And he ended up getting his PhD in theology and psychology from Harvard. But because of his experience in the South Pacific, he dedicated himself to, once again, serving those who serve us in the armed forces. Ernie became a chaplain. And Ernie first served as a chaplain in the Korean War, and then served again as a chaplain in the Vietnam War. And when he returned home from the Vietnam War, he spent the rest of his ministry and the rest of his life dedicating himself to serving and helping veterans. And that's where he met this particular man that I talked about last week in my sermon. This particular man had served in the Vietnam War, and so Ernie and him had a special bond and a special connection. He not only helped him find a life of sobriety, but he also became a very, very close friend to him. Ernie even invited this particular man to his son's wedding and had an impact on him that has continued to this day. Well, this man, Ernie, passed away a number of years ago, but I'd like to share a photo of these two men. These two men who had built a lifelong bond of one another based on the idea that all people are precious, that God cares for all people, and that all people are loved in the eyes of God. And I'd like to share a picture with you right now.
The older gentleman on the left is Ernie. The man in the middle is the person that Ernie helped find sobriety and is also my dad. And the kid wearing the cool Ninja Turtle hat sitting in Ernie's lap is me. And the other kids in the picture are my brothers and my sister.
From the South Pacific to our church here today, this story illustrates how God is in the business of rescuing people. And as our story illustrates, as the scripture illustrates, it's not just some people that God is interested in rescuing, it's all people. See, all of us have had experience in our life that makes us feel unworthy or unloved. All of us have had experiences in our life where we feel rejected or unwanted. But the scripture reveals to us that that couldn't be further from the truth, is that you are precious in God's sight. You are worthy in God's sight. You see, we often talk about things like self-worth or self-esteem. But worth and esteem does not come from ourselves. Worth and esteem comes from God. And we need to recognize that, and just as importantly, we have a calling to help other people recognize that as well. The world can be a difficult and lonely place. The world can be a place where people are hurt or rejected, and people lose sight of the fact that they are precious in God's sight. And like Ernie in our story today, we are called to be spiritual first responders. We are called to reach out to those who are hurting, not with judgment or condemnation, not to rebuke them, but to lift them up, to acknowledge them and help them understand that they are loved. They are loved, and as the scripture says, nothing can separate them from God's love. See, we may not find ourselves in the beach on the South Pacific, but we all find ourselves in situations and circumstances surrounded by people who are hurting, lonely, and lost. And all of us have the capacity, the ability to speak words of kindness, to speak words of love, to speak words of truth and life into someone else's life, to remind them, as Ernie did, as Jesus does, through our words and actions, that they are loved, that they are worthy, that they are precious in God's sight. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, We give you thanks for this opportunity to remember and be reminded about your abundant love for us. We ask, Lord, that you help us remember that we are precious and that all people who are lost or are hurting are loved by you. Help us honor our role as spiritual first responders and reach out to those who are hurting in light and love and truth. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.